WFED Washington, WTOP FM HD2 Washington, WTOP FM HD2 Braddock Heights Frederick.
The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Sean Kelly, who is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly, former CISO at EPA and former deputy CIO at Veterans Affairs on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Cyber Chat, where government leaders come to discuss the hottest cyber topics affecting us today. Now your host, Sean Kelly.
Today I'm speaking with John Gilligan, Center for Internet Security Chief Executive, Chris Woloshin, Vice President, System Security, Election Systems and Software, Matthew Masterson, Senior Cybersecurity Advisor at DHS for Election Security. Last week, we talked about election security with these panel members, and we set a really good foundation on where we were and what we've been doing on the election security. What I want to start with this segment is, John, and I'd like you to kick it off. What have we learned since 2016?
Yeah, Sean, thanks. Great question, because I think it's important to set the stage. I mean, there's obviously been tremendous media attention looking at cyber issues since 2016. And so I think I would say first, what the big aha, I think, from the elections community was the recognition that it's not sufficient just to ensure that the votes that are cast, so the voter's intent, is adequately captured and then adequately tabulated into the final results. I mean, that's where there had been tremendous focus. And as we talked in the show last week, you know, layers of redundant controls to ensure that the vote is captured properly. What we found in 2016 is that there were two factors that we hadn't seen previously. One was deliberate attacks against portions of the elections infrastructure, in this case, voter registration. Voter registration is systems that, as Matt said last week, are generally network connected, and therefore they have some vulnerability to network access. What ended up happening out of these attacks had no impact, and in fact, there was quickly recovered. But the public perception that these attacks resulted in loss of confidence in the overall elections process, I think, was the big aha, and it then became obvious to the elections community that it's not just sufficient to capture the votes. We have to ensure that the entirety of the elections infrastructure, from voter registration to the poll books to election management to election reporting results, all work properly, because any hiccup in any element of that could potentially erode the confidence of the American public.
The other night I was on a panel, and this was the topic. And just after the conversation, right before we ended, I did a very scientific poll, raise of hands. And I asked the folks in the audience, and Chris was there, how many believe that we should keep this process a paper-driven system? And over half the audience raised their hand and said they would rather this be a paper-based system. Have a couple of questions. And has the technology of elections and cybersecurity not really caught up to each other? And I think this first question, back to John's point, is, or are we just dealing with media hyper, this topic, which has now made people doubt whether we can actually do elections? You know, because I have heard nothing that says anything happened with this election, as John just said. But I think the Americans' confidence is somewhat eroded, you know, on this topic.
Yeah, it's a really challenging question, because what you're talking about is the need to modernize, because a process that isn't modern, that doesn't serve voters well, offer that level of accessibility to voters, is one that also voters will lack confidence in, right? It needs to be available and usable for the voters. And so balancing the risk that some technology brings with the need for resilience and redundancy is the challenge that we face, but election officials have been dealing with, quite frankly, since the Help America Vote Act, since the introduction of that technology. And so as we look at what is the purpose of that technology, what are we trying to achieve, and then how do we manage the risks and what do they introduce, we can make good decisions. So when you talk about a paper-based process, largely that conversation revolves around the voting machines, the mm-hmm. capturing the votes. That ability to go back and audit that vote total and have confidence, I think, is clearly critical and something that the community is driving towards already. There's a recognition in the community that that's where we need to be. When you look at online voter registration, electronic poll books, or election night reporting, let's use election night reporting as a really good example.
Yeah, it is.
Those election night results are unofficial, right? Those are unofficial results that have little to no impact, no impact on the integrity of the election. There's an entire process that takes place after election night where votes are canvassed, the votes from absentee ballots and provisional ballots are totaled, and you get the official results. On election night, that's so that the media, the public, the candidates know kind of where we stand, right? I've heard it analogized to, you know, the scoreboard during a football game. Well, if the scoreboard during a football game goes out, that the point total, the score doesn't change. It's just not being reported up on the scoreboard, right? And so we need to recognize what's the risk of election night reporting. It's one to public confidence, not to the integrity of the voting process. So we need to manage the risks appropriately. Do we have backups? Are we able to communicate quickly if the election night results page either goes down or is incorrect? But in the end, the integrity of the process remains intact when we talk about election night reporting. So it's having that kind of risk mindset about each one of the systems we deploy.
All right. And John, you mentioned integrity. You've mentioned integrity. Chris, what does the ESS vote today look like that makes sure we have integrity?
Sure. Well, I agree with my esteemed colleagues here that there's a definite need to modernize the technology. As was previously mentioned, some of the devices that are in the field were built in 2005 and certified to 2005 cybersecurity standards. Well, our adversaries, the people who would attempt to upset or undermine American confidence in our electoral system, they have upped their game, and so we also need to up our game. And that means investing in modern technology that produces a paper record that can be auditable. Election security requires our constant vigilance, and we cannot rest on our hands, rest on our laurels, and think that just because no vote has been flipped in the past that somebody won't try to in the future. We need to up our game too, and that means producing modern technology to modern cybersecurity standards. The way we get there is to have a full quorum on the Election Assistance Commission and the rapid approval of the Voluntary Voting System Guidelines 2.0 and bring all the manufacturers up to the latest standards for cybersecurity. And in that way, modern standards, modern equipment, paper record will achieve our goal of continuing customer or voter confidence in election technology.
My guests today are John Gilligan, Center for Internet Security Chief Executive, Chris Woloshin, Vice President, System Security, Election Systems and Software, Matthew Masterson, Senior Cybersecurity Advisor at DHS for Election Security. I am Sean Kelly, and this is Cyber Chat on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.
A new database may become a powerful tool to spot serial killers. Can math solve murder? Tom Hargrove, founder of the Alexandria, Virginia-based Murder Accountability Project, has developed an algorithm he says can link related homicides.
What the computer tries to do is to identify murders that have an elevated probability of having a common killer.
Hargrove is compiling data from FBI and local police records, going to court to get it if he needs to, and aims to make America's most complete accounting of murder. Anyone can search it, inputting parameters like geographic area, time frame, and method of killing on an interactive online map.
You set those switches, and then you're going to see clusters pop up all over the country of what we believe are murders that ought to be looked at for the possibility of containing serial victims.
You can do the sleuthing at murderdata.org with the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.
Welcome back to Cyber Chat on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. I am Sean Kelly. My guests today are John Gilligan, Center for Internet Security Chief Executive, Chris Woloshin, Vice President, System Security, Election Systems and Software, Matthew Masterson, Senior Cybersecurity Advisor at DHS for Election Security. So before we went on break, we've been talking about the pieces and things that we've changed and what has happened since 2016. But what is the plan on Election Day? When we get to November 6th, as Chris hit me on the other night, is the big day, but there's a lot that's going on before and there'll be a lot going on during that day.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot going on right now. Ballots are being cast now. Voters are receiving their ballots and able to vote early in many jurisdictions. For election day, the Department of Homeland Security will be coordinating across the federal government, so working with our partners at the FBI, Intelligence Community, Election Assistance Commission, in order to make sure that information is being shared and where necessary, pushing intelligence down. We'll also have an unclassified space where the National Association of Secretaries of State, National Association of State Election Directors, representatives from political parties, as well as manufacturers of and vendors of election equipment will all be co-located, sharing information, making sure that we're running to ground reports either from customers or other places to make sure we know the truth on the ground as the election's happening and that voters are able to vote, cast their vote with confidence. Also, we'll have, working with the Center for Internet Security and EISAC, a cyber situational awareness room in which all 50 states, over 1,300 jurisdictions, will be able to sign in, share information in real time. That includes technical indicators as well as just anecdotal. Here's what we're seeing out in the field. Here's what you need to know in order to make sure that those that own and operate these systems have the information they need to protect them. And in the end, that voters are well served and can cast their vote with confidence.
And John, you mentioned census earlier in a previous segment that there are census out there at the state level that are being monitored that you help with. What else are you guys doing on Election Day?
Well, a lot of what we're doing leading up to Election Day is really getting information out. And so I'll give you an example. Just within the last week, there was news reports about voter registration data being available on what's called the dark web. And so what we did is working with the federal officials, we put together an explanation piece to describe what literally is happening, what is available on the dark web, whether that information is also publicly available. In most cases, it is publicly available for a fee. And in fact, what we found was the information on the dark web is being made available for about the same price as if you went to the state and asked to get the data.
But disappointed, no markup,
or discount. But the point is, as elections officials, secretaries of state are asked by the news media about these types of events, we want to make sure that they rapidly have access to authoritative information so that they're not responding to the rumors. And they have the technical facts. So that's an example. And so we have a constant dialogue going on with the elections offices. Also, if they have issues or problems. And it's not uncommon that there is a particular problem. Something happens. And it may not be a cyber attack, but we engage with the elections organizations and help them diagnose. We keep DHS informed of all of those events. But it's just to make sure that everyone's getting the support they need, getting accurate information so that there's no misunderstanding or something that is important slips through the cracks and is not getting proper attention.
And Chris, what's your day look like?
Well, I'm excited for this midterm election on November 6th. Yesterday, I heard Chris Krebs at a Cyber Talk event say that the midterm election for 2018 will be the most secure election that he's ever seen. And the reason for that is because DHS and the Center for Internet Security have brought together through their leadership and collaboration a partnership of state and local election officials. The manufacturing community is represented by the Sector Coordinating Council. They have invited us into their situational awareness rooms and their chat rooms so that we can benefit from that cyber threat information sharing and situational awareness unlike any election before. Now, while ESNS is involved in elections every month across all the states that we support, this one is going to be extra special because not only will ESNS have 600 people in the field supporting state and local election officials on Election Day, but I've been invited to participate at the Homeland Security Situational Awareness Room, and I'm really looking forward to being a resource for those groups so that any incident on Election Day can be rapidly analyzed, adjudicated, and then communicated about to ensure that what Chris Krebs said is true. This is the most secure election in our lifetimes.
You know, we're in Washington, D.C., and so we could say we're at the center of it or we're at the center of none of it, you know, depending on what you want to say. But, you know, I haven't seen a lot of talk You know, I think what you just said, John, was perfect. Is you're trying to get out there to get the information out, but I almost feel like we're having a lot of conversations about this, and maybe I'm just not plugged into those networks, but it doesn't seem like we've had a really good campaign to tell the public what's going on. All we hear is a bunch of stuff on television. Not going to get into on this show, but I don't know if we've been educating the way we should. I think we're trying to now, but it's, you know, it's 2 weeks before the election.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. We at DHS have spent a lot of time going out to states. I spent a lot of my time out meeting with and talking with the state and local officials and talking to the public with them. So I did a joint press conference out in California to talk about what steps have we taken to improve the security and what is the California Secretary of State and Register of Voters out there doing to secure the process. And I think on an ongoing basis, we need to continue to message that. We also just recently published a product in coordination with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, National Association of Secretaries of State, National Association of State Election Directors, and EAC, that is designed and targeted at voters to say, hey, you're a part of this too. Secure your vote. Know your registration status. Know that it's up to date. Know where your polling place is and what's supposed to be on your ballot. And know that you have the right to a provisional ballot, that if you show up and you're not on the registration rolls, that you have a right to a provisional ballot, that if you're properly registered, will be counted and counted as cast. And so that product went out broadly to all the states in order to allow them to push it out to their voters as the trusted sources of that information. Because as we look at this and look at the lessons learned from 2016, that disinformation, we want to be sure that voters know, where can I go to get the correct information about my vote, about where I'm registered, about where to go. And so this is part of our broader effort to try to build a resilient electorate, not just a resilient system, so that they can go to the polls with confidence and know that they can cast their ballot.
John, I know you have a comment. Let me go to break, and we'll talk to you right after the break. My guests today are John Gilligan, Center for Internet Security Chief Executive, Chris Woloshin, Vice President, System Security, Election Systems and Software, and Matthew Masterson, Senior Cybersecurity Advisor at DHS for Election Security. I am Sean Kelly, and this is Cyber Chat on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.
To help prevent, counter, and defeat cybercrime, the FBI teams up with Chief Information Security Officers, or CISOs, from companies across the country. The CISO Academy is a week-long cyber summit held twice a year at the FBI Academy in Quantico, Virginia. CISOs get a behind-the-scenes look at how FBI agents conduct cyber investigations like intrusions. Unit Chief Jason Levitt says classes are purposely kept small to foster close relationships.
We need to educate private sector to also be eyes and ears for us so that ultimately when something happens, there's a collective effort to stop that bad actor, be it a nation state or criminal enterprise.
CISOs learn the importance of having an incident response plan in place prior to a possible cyber attack.
And that's what really is paramount here. The CISOs are learning that ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Since its creation in 2015, about 150 people have attended the CISO Academy. With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
There are nearly 2 billion websites in the world.
But there's only one that matters to the federal IT community. Welcome to AskTheCIO.com, the longest-running program on federal IT, featuring Federal News Network's executive editor, Jason Miller. AskTheCIO.com. Exclusive CIO and IT decision maker interviews, breaking news, on demand and updated daily. Sign up at AskTheCIO.com and become an insider with full access to federal IT news, special events, and actionable intel. AskTheCIO.com.
Welcome back to Cyber Chat on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. I am Sean Kelly. My guests today are John Gilligan, Center for Internet Security Chief Executive, Chris Woloshin, Vice President, System Security, Election Systems and Software, and Matthew Masterson, Senior Cybersecurity Advisor at DHS for Election Security. John, before we went on break, we were talking about...
Sean, you asked a question about whether the public was getting the message about all of the good things that were happening, and you said in your experience you're not seeing it, and Matt talked about the outreach efforts. And I wanted to just share an observation. And I think it's somewhat a reflection of where we are in society today, is that, and I don't mean to be critical of the media, but the media is often looking for the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, some people call it the mess. And so it is often difficult for folks like DHS and the elections officials, and I can speak, I'm not in those organizations, to get the word out about all the good things that they're doing. because there's just not as much receptivity. I think they're doing a fantastic job. I think it's a very positive message. I think shows like this on Federal News Radio are an important way to get the positive word out. So thank you.
Chris, the maturity at the state, the federal, and the manufacturer level, what does that need to look like in the future?
Sure. So going forward, the efforts of DHS to educate state and local election officials, the efforts of the Center for Internet Security, who published the Election Infrastructure Handbook, are tools that state and local election officials will use going forward to further ensure that the elections that they prepare for, that they put on, and that they audit in the future will remain secure. The fact that DHS and CIS have brought in the manufacturing community to contribute to that solution is going to pay huge benefits between now and 2020. I can point to a couple of examples. The CIS Handbook for Elections Infrastructure Risk Assessment is a tool provided to state and local election officials and the manufacturing community. At ESNS, we reviewed and assessed ourselves against that handbook. We've determined where we are compliant and where we need to up our game, and we're working actively towards that. We're cooperating with the Election Assistance Commission, who sponsor, along with NIST, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, modernization of the voluntary voting system guidelines. We're participating in working groups to bring those guidelines for cybersecurity as they apply to election infrastructure up to modern standards. And we're building our systems, our hardware, our software to those modern standards. So I'm confident that as we move towards 2020, the entire fabric of the election ecosystem, from state and local election officials to federal support to the manufacturers, will be moving in the same direction and on the same page.
So, you know, you mentioned 2020, and we were talking about 16 to 18. John, starting with you, what do we need to be doing to be ready for 2020? What do we need to do to mature? I mean, it isn't really fair, I think, in a lot of ways, to think we've improved that much. I think collaboration and communication has greatly improved. But we all know what it's like to be in the federal government environment, in the state acquisition cycles, and the federal acquisition cycles. And our system just doesn't move on a turn of a dime. So now we have 2 years before we go into another election cycle. What do we really need to accomplish?
Well, Sean, great question. I think there's a couple of things I would point to. As you mentioned, what's happened between 2016 and 2018 has been to try to implement those things that could be done in a relatively short period of time. And while there were some voting systems that have been replaced, there will likely be a desire and an opportunity to replace additional voting systems in the period between 2018 and 2020. I think that'll be very positive. But in addition, as Chris mentioned a few minutes ago, we do know that based on assessments that we've done, that there are some additional opportunities to improve the security of the current systems. We're not going to replace everything in the next 2 years. And so I think that's going to be a focus, to identify what are the areas that can be improved technically, and then to put those technical improvements in place. I think a third area would be education. We've come a long way in trying to educate at the state level the elections officials about the importance of security and what security means. But as you mentioned earlier, we have roughly 9,000 local jurisdictions, and that's going to have to be a focus going forward, because there's just a lot of people that are well-intended trying to do a great job, but we can do a better job of giving them knowledge about security. And I think the last area would be trying to find better ways to communicate to the public about all of the good work that is being done by the vendors like ESNS, the elections officials, secretaries of state, to ensure that when they go to the polling place, that they have a secure environment and that their voter intent is accurately captured and recorded. And I think we just need to put more emphasis on getting that message out.
I appreciate it. Matt?
Yeah, a couple of things to build on the comments of the two other panelists. The first is having more mature risk-based discussions. We've done a really good job building the collaboration, getting involvement from all 50 states and the jurisdictions, and now working with the private sector, getting everyone together to say, okay, where are our real risks? Where can the improvements be made? Where do we need to invest, right? Because this is a resource-limited area, where can we mitigate the most risk most effectively with those resources, right? And so we've had those conversations kind of quickly as we've gone from 2016 to 2018. Now it's time to have those in-depth discussions about really where's the private sector risk lie. Things like supply chain need to be part of this conversation so we can really have a holistic view of that. The other is, and I mentioned it in previous comments, but really getting from that 80% to 100% auditability, ensuring that heading into 2020, doing what we can to make sure that we have effective, efficient audits to give voters confidence that their vote was counted as cast. And then finally, building on what we've done from 2016 to 2018 as far as information sharing. So maturing our ability as a federal government to take information and intelligence, get it to the proper level, and push it down to those local officials and make sure it's consumable. Make sure they can take it and use it in an IT environment where they have little support, right? And so I think you're going to see that maturing take place quickly between 2018 and 2020.
Outstanding. And Chris, you have the final word.
Yes, I forgot to mention, and I'd be remiss if I didn't now, that going forward in 2020, ESNS is going to take advantage of a equipment testing service that DHS, National Cybersecurity Assessment Services team provides. ESNS will be submitting our tabulation equipment to DHS for penetration testing early next year. And following that, ESNS is going to work with the EAC, CIS, and other organizations to put on an ethical testing of election technology. That's ethical testing of election technology event at a neutral site where we invite in ethical white hat vetted security researchers to test our modern equipment, and under a responsible vulnerability disclosure program, produce actionable results to further ensure that folks can trust our equipment and that their vote is cast and counted as intended.
Outstanding. And probably the results of that probably available next summer?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think that's great. Gentlemen, I want to thank you. I think this was a very educational two-part show that you were participating in, so I'm very grateful to you for coming down to the show. I think for those that are listening, this is a complicated process. And, you know, we're not normally connected into it until we get to a midterm and, you know, a presidential election. And I think there's still a lot of work to do, but I think a lot of hard work's been done, and this is good to hear. So thank you. My guests today have been John Gilligan, Center for Internet Security Chief Executive, Chris Woloshin, Vice President, System Security, Election Systems and Software, Matthew Masterson, Senior Cybersecurity Advisor at DHS for Election Security. I am Sean Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Sean Kelly, and you can get the latest cybersecurity news on cyberchatnews.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Cyber Chat with Sean Kelly on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Tune in Friday mornings at 10:30 or subscribe to this show on iTunes or Podcast One.